Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's holy, infallible, and eternal word. In the image of a shepherd, David, who himself was a shepherd, tells us that like weak, foolish, thoughtless, unprotected sheep, God's people have a shepherd who will be their provider, their preserver, their guide, physician, and friend. And the theme of being a shepherd is the heart of this psalm. It is the psalm that speaks of the fact that God is our shepherd. God is the one who shepherds his people. A shepherd would have been a familiar term to most of the people to whom David wrote. A shepherd was one who cared for sheep. And David takes that image of a shepherd and he brings that image of a shepherd and he brings our attention to the fact that God is like that shepherd to us. But he says, the Lord is my shepherd. God is the shepherd, the all-powerful one. The one who is accountable to no one, the one who is unchanging and is unchanged. This eternal God, he is my shepherd. And what this shepherd does is spelled out in Psalm 23. He leads me into rest and refreshment. That's what a shepherd did. David uses this intimate metaphor to go beyond what he might have described if he were saying something about a king. And remember, many of the Psalms and much of the Psalter is about a king, ultimately about the Lord Jesus Christ, the king. But a king was one who was kind of distant from the people. He lived over there in the palace. But the shepherd was right there with the sheep. The king or the deliverer might have been available if needed, but the shepherd was always available. The shepherd lived with his flock. He lived with the flock. And he did everything for the flock. He guided the flock. He was the physician. He was the protector. We see that in David's own experience when he had to protect the sheep from the lion and from the bear. Isn't it interesting that many people think the youngest person in the family, which is David's case, of course, would always get the unwanted job, you know? Who gets the job in the home of taking out the garbage or mowing the lawn? Usually it's the youngest or one of the younger ones. But David was one who was a shepherd. He was the youngest, but he was a mighty shepherd. He was out with the sheep 24/7. This is a 24/7 job. You know, if you're a king, you could probably take time off and go on a vacation. You know, our president goes on a vacation. He goes on vacation a lot, I think. leaders go on vacation. That's all right. It's a good thing to have vacation. But what was the shepherd's job? There was no vacation. He couldn't say, well, I'm going to go for 2 weeks over here to enjoy myself and have some rest and relaxation. No, he was on the job 24/7. He was on the job at night. He was on the job during the day. Good weather, bad weather. Who in their right mind would even choose to be a shepherd? You'd have to deal with the wild animals, the lion and the bear, like David did. You'd have to deal with the harsh weather. You wouldn't have a place to go in the harsh weather. There you are, out in the middle of the field, and what happens when the weather turns bad? There you are. It's a 24/7 job. I think perhaps that's one of the reasons David chooses this image of the shepherd when he speaks of the Lord is my shepherd. He's always there, never to forsake us. And not only does he lead us into rest and refreshment, as verses 1 and 2 speak of it, he makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, you had to look for green pastures. They weren't everywhere. But the shepherd knew how to take the sheep and find them. And he leads me beside still waters. The shepherd thinks in terms of the flock. What does the flock need? They need water and they need food. And the sheep will follow the shepherd wherever he leads them, but the sheep will not know, oh, we should be going over there to that field, or we should go around that rocky crevice and into that place because that's where we'll find things. They didn't know that. But the shepherd was the one who knew it and had to lead them and had to guide them. And the sheep would follow the shepherd. The sheep will not lie down unless it's because of fear or flies or famine or problems. But they would follow the shepherd. And the shepherd takes them beside the still waters. And it says he restores my soul. The shepherd takes on the flock as his family. The shepherd revives the sheep. The shepherd here in this picture is a picture of God who renews the heart of man and sinners by grace in Jesus Christ. And he leads me through all the struggles of life. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where do the sheep need to go? They need to go in the right path, the right path. And the interesting thing about sheep is they are uniquely stupid. They are. I've read in some books where they speak of sheep, they'll eat just about anything. They'll eat things that are bad for them. They meander, they wander. They don't know where they should be, but they have a shepherd who guides them. And here is the guide who guides in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see the picture here of how God guides us in our life and blesses us in our life. If he didn't guide us and bless us, where would we go? We don't know. But he guides us in the paths of righteousness because we belong to him. He leads me through the struggle of life because, like sheep, I guess we could say we are uniquely stupid. We're uniquely sinful. We stray. We go our own way. We do what we want to do. But what does God do? He guides us. Sometimes his hand is heavy upon us. Sometimes he pushes us a little bit. Sometimes he opens the path for us so that we can see that's where we should go. And the wise leader renews us so that we may endure the struggle of life. The wise leader stretches out his gracious hand and he refreshes us. And we don't have any lack of need for guidance. It's all that we need. God gives it to us. And he gives it to us so that we can know that step by step, every step along that path, he is with us. If there's danger ahead, if there's difficulty, if there's conflict, God is always there. And that's the message of this text. Our blessed privilege is this: God always leads us. Our shepherd guides us. He cares for us. He cares for us so much so that when you get to verse 4, it says he leads us through the veils of shadow and sorrow when we come to death. And where does he lead us? He leads us to safety. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Is there a darker valley than that? Many of us have been in and with people who have gone through that valley. It's hard. But as the shepherd led his sheep through difficult and dangerous places, the great shepherd is good to his people. Enemies might be lurking, death might be lurking, dangerous mountain passes might be there that cause fear and wounds. They had to be very careful when they were going around the mountain or up the mountain that they didn't fall off or hurt their leg along the way. Whether the path was difficult or not, whether the darkness and the gloom would set the sheep into fear and cause their hearts to go at a rapid rate, we don't know, but in all of it, we know the shepherd was there. He was there. He was always there, and he drove the sheep closely to himself. And the picture that this gives to us is of the great shepherd who is always there for his people. Our shepherd knows us. The shepherd knows you. He knows your heart. He knows and he understands you better than you know yourself. He is that faithful shepherd who will lead you through the harrowing circumstances of life. And he will lead you where? He will lead you to safety. Because God is with us. He's with us in the valleys. He's with us on the mountaintop. He's with us all the time. And that's what David says. I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Is there a better phrase in the Bible than that? To know that God is there. He's always there. He's always, always there. That should calm all of our fears. That should bring us close to him. At the point of danger, in the darkest shadow, the psalmist changes the whole psalm. And he says in that person-to-person address, you are with me. The shepherd is no longer way ahead to lead, but he is alongside to escort. In times of need, in times of blessing, his companionship is there. And with him comes the great power to do all things. Notice that it says immediately after it says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What's a rod? Well, a rod was the cudgel around a belt. I always think of those movies where, you know, the bad guys had that short little black stick that they would take out and they would use as a something to hit their enemy with. It's an item that they use to defend themselves. Who would they defend themselves from? Well, lions and bears and animals and so on. And the staff was the staff that was used to round up the flock. The staff was the staff that was used to guide the people. And the shepherd had these weapons with him for defense and for discipline, so that the sheep would be not only defended, but that they would be disciplined. Doesn't God do that for us? Of course he does. He defends us from our enemy. He sent his son into this world to die for us so that we might be freed from that enemy and brought into the kingdom of God. But he doesn't just say, well, my job is done. That's all there. He also disciplines us. He gives us his word through his word. By the power of the Spirit, that word comes to our heart. And that word directs us and it guides us. It teaches us how we are to live for him. The psalmist looks at all of these things and he says, God is with him. He's close by my side. Why should I fear? There is no fear, for the shepherd is there and the sheep can know the blessing of that intimacy of that great shepherd of the sheep. But he's not merely a shepherd. He is the friend of God's people. And that friendship speaks of the blessings that are laid out in verses 5 and 6, where he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He leads me through this life's journey, preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup overflows. What is the psalmist saying? He says, God's meeting my needs. Whatever my needs are, the cup overflows. God has blessed me. Life may be made up of danger and struggle, but he is to be pursued continually by these two attendants. Your goodness and mercy is with me all the days of my life. David could say God's goodness and mercy were there for him. God's goodness and mercy were there so that he would know he is shepherded, he is supported, he is protected, and he is blessed. And that blessing in the terms of this wonderful feast gives way to the better prospect that we have in front of us in the very last verse of that invitation into the presence of God to live with him in his eternal home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Doesn't end there. What's the next part? And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He will lead me into a beautiful home at the journey's end. The end of our pilgrimage is the home of the Lord, our true home, our heavenly home. In the presence of Jesus, who loved us and died for our sins that we might be made right with God. He came into this world to conquer death. He came to destroy sin. He came to defeat Satan so that he might welcome us into his home for eternity. He didn't just come to do all the work and say, that's it. He came to do that so that he might welcome us into his home for all eternity. Jesus said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and Hades. He is saying to all who trust him, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, what? There you may be also. In that promise, we have Jesus' words that assure us that if we love him and trust him, our home will be with him forever. Every Christian has that comfort. That comfort that can say neither death nor life nor anything else will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ the Lord. Is that your comfort? Do you know the promise of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know? And can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? My shepherd. My prayer for you is that you may lay your trembling hand and heart in his pierced hand and make him yours, your Savior, your Comforter in sorrow, your God and Shepherd for all of life and for all eternity. Amen.